Good morning. Today's daf in Nedarim is Samach Gimel. We find ourselves on Samach Beis Amud Beis. We're starting today at the Mishnah, right in the middle of the Amud. And this will be the last daf here of the 8th parak of the Masechta. The 8th parak has dealt with Nedarim vis-a-vis time. When you make a Nedar and it's going to be capped at a certain point in time, so when exactly is that time going to come to an end? So it's very simple. Whenever you say so. Meaning, again, when we're talking about Nedarim, so Nedarim are tailor-made and you can make it. You can give it a term, you can give it a deadline, and it's over when the deadline is over. But let's say you use a terminology that is not easily understood or readily understood. So what do? We follow Lashon B'nei Adam. And I know we've been repeating that a lot lately, but that's been the rule, both in Prakim's number 6, 7, and 8. And this would represent now the last day that we're really going to be dedicating ourselves to discussing this topic about understanding Lashon B'nei Adam. So we have three prakim here in Masechta Nedarim, which again makes sense. This is the Masechta to learn the idea of Benedarim Hochanach Lashem Bnei Adam. So this is now parak number 3, and this is going to be the last day in which we're discussing when exactly the term is going to end. And the term is going to end. Here's my alliteration for the day. Here, the term is going to end based on the terminology that you use. Oh, thank you. That was amazing. So good. So what exactly is? What are we exploring over here? Various terms that are used. And exactly its meaning, its precise meaning. Okay, good. So we've been doing this now for the last couple of days. It's a short parak, this 8th parak, and so today's not going to be any different. We're going to deal with one of the more classic questions that comes up a number of times throughout Shas, and that is that you say until Adar, and there's a second Adar. So which Adar did you mean? Did you mean Adar Aleph or Adar Beis? Good. So hopefully that's a familiar topic. And again, it's coming up in today's daf as well. So that'll be probably one of the more quote-unquote popular topics that are coming up in today's daf. Let's begin. We're starting with the Mishnah on Samach Beis Amud Beis. And you say, Adakatsir. So you're making a neder. Okay, again, we're going to assume that you're not drinking wine. In other words, that has been the assumption throughout the parak. And by the way, hold that thought, because when we get to the end of today's daf, that's going to come into play when we're talking about Pesach, because on Pesach, of course, there's a mitzvah to drink wine, right? 4 cups of it, if I'm not mistaken. So hold that thought when we get to the end of the parak, which is coming up in today's daf, where we have to take that into consideration. We'll do that at the end of today's daf. But anyway, I'm not drinking wine until katsir, until harvest. So again, you and I don't live in an agricultural society. So when we say until harvest, you and I are going to be staring at each other blankly. And we're not going to have any idea what we're talking about because that's not the world we live in, right? I say until the school year begins. I say until the fiscal year, right? In other words, when my taxes are due. So in other words, these are the kinds of dates on the calendar in which we're familiar with. But if I say harvest, so you and I are going to be looking at each other and we're going to be like, okay, I don't know when harvest is. You don't know when harvest is. Okay, good. So obviously the Mishnah is taking us back to an agricultural society where katsir meant something. Now, what did it mean? So over there, we meant the harvest, and not just any harvest, but we're talking about the wheat harvest, and don't confuse it with the barley harvest. Okay, now which comes first? Now, once again, by the way, it's funny that I'm answering this question. So, right? I'm the big agrarian over here, right? Of course not. Roots on my mother's side takes me back to Argentina, and that is a very agrarian economy. But I can't. I'm a Jersey boy, and never been on the farm. So anyway, so what is it? So which of the two come first? So the barley harvest comes first. Now we know this, by the way. In other words, now let's get serious for just a moment. We know this because, of course, in other words, of the carbonates that are offered in the Beis Hamikdash, so which one is offered first? The Omer. Right, the Omer is offered first, and what kind of carbon is that? That's a carbon of barley, right? And that's offered on Pesach, second day of Pesach, which means that the harvest obviously occurred beforehand. So in other words, as you're approaching Pesach, so we're harvesting now barley. So that comes early. What about the wheat? So when's the carbon of wheat coming? It's 50 days later. It's otherwise known as Shavuos. On Shavuos, you're offering the She'al Lechem, which is a carbon for wheat, which means that typically the harvest for wheat is at a later point in time. So as we are now into the spring, so the barley harvest is earlier, the wheat harvest is later. You said ad hakatsir. You just simply said until the harvest. So which harvest are you referring to? So the Mishnah says you refer to the wheat harvest, not the barley harvest. It's later. I know it's later, but basically what the Mishnah is telling us is it's more chashuv, right? In other words, the barley harvest is not that exciting, right? Barley as a food, in other words, despite the fact that, of course, it's edible and What would Shulam be without barley? But what? But the barley is not as significant as wheat. Wheat is viewed as a more significant harvest. So when I say ad hakatsir, I meant the wheat harvest. Good. That's what we just learned in the Mishnah. So now hakolafi makam nidro. But then the Mishnah throws in a qualifier, and that of course is that that's a default. Meaning, but then of course it really is going to be a function of where you live. Meaning that if a place where you live, so the barley is more significant, so then you're going to be following the place in which you live. In other words, we're setting the default standard that of course wheat is more significant than barley, but it could be that you live in places where barley is more significant than wheat. So then obviously you're going to be following minag hamakom. So imaya bahar, so bahar, v'imaya bebeka bebeka. And then the Mishnah makes a comment in terms of where you were situated when you make the neder. Were you on the mountain or were you in the valley? And apparently, presumably, and again, this is well beyond my basic understanding, but the times of harvesting are different when you're on the mountain versus when you're in the valley. So, in other words, when you made the neder and you were on the mountain, so you're going to be following, I say this with pun intended, you're going to be following mountain time. Okay. And when you made the neder and you were in the valley, you're going to be following valley time. In other words, the harvests are not the same exact time, and so where you made the neder is going to be governing when the neder is going to come to a conclusion. Okay, next. Okay, so that was...
You mean he just visited the mountain, or he lived...
No, he made the neder while he was Bahar.
But he doesn't live there.
I don't know. It could be. In other words, the simple pshat in the Mishnah is that he made the neder Bahar. And that's it. In other words, from that point going forward, now he's going to be on mountain time. Okay, good. In terms of the expiration of his neder. Next, Ada Geshamim. So now we move on to the next part of the Mishnah where he says Ada Geshamim, until the rains. So again, let's take ourselves out of Galus over here and put us in Eretz Yisrael. And what do we know? The rains start in Cheshvan. Good. After Sukkot, the rain's going to start. Right? Really, the rain season starts at Sukkot itself. But we don't want to ask for rain on Sukkot because we want to be outside. It's called the mitzvah of being in the sukkah. Good. So immediately after sukkah is over, so what we start doing is that we start beseeching HaKadosh Baruch Hu for rain. Really, in the month of Cheshvan is where we start making our big push for rain. Okay, good. And it's going to be raining over the winter. That's the general climate of Eretz Yisrael. I'm making a neder, no wine until Geshamim. Now, I say the word Geshamim. So am I looking at the times of rain or am I looking for actual rain? Good. So ad geshamim ashiu ad geshamim ashite reviyah shniya. So if I say ad geshamim or I say ashiu ad geshamim, so we're looking for the reviyah shniya. We're looking for the second rain. Now, if you're a little bit confused in terms of what we're going to mean when we say first rain, second rain, third rain, so hold on for just a little bit. We're going to explain that better. If you learned the Gemara in Tanis, so you already know what we're talking about. But over here, we're learning the Darim. Happens to be, it's the same Gemara here as it is in Tanis, in terms of first, second, and third rains. So just hold that thought for just a moment. We're going to come back to that. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Omer, Ashi Agiyas Manisha Revia. So, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, we don't need actual rain to come down. Meaning, according to the Tanakhama, when you say Ad HaGishamim, what you're looking for is actual rain. In other words, your neder is only going to expire when rain actually comes down. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, we're not looking for actual rain. We're looking for anticipated times in which rain is going to come. And specifically, Ashegiyas Manashel Revia. We're looking for the anticipated second rain. And again, if you don't know what that means, hold on. Just hang on a little bit, and we're gonna come back and explain that. So basically, what we have in the Mishnah is a machlokus between the Tanakh and Rav Shimon Gamliel. When you say the words, Ashegishamim, do you need actual rain to come down, or just simply anticipated times of when rain is going to come down? Machlokas Tatanayim. We'll come back to that. Ashiv Siku Agushamim. So let's say now your neder is going to expire when it stops raining. So Ashiyetze Nisan Kulo Divrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Ashi Avora Pesach. So here again, Machlokas Tanayim. When exactly is it that the rain is expected to come to an end? Is it going to be until the conclusion of Nisan, or is it going to be until right after Pesach? Good. Tanya. We're starting with the Gemara. We're on Samech Beis and Medbeis. We are right after the Mishnah. Tanya, we have a Braisa. Hanoder ad hakayitz. Again, I'm not going to be drinking wine ad hakayitz. Now, previously we described kayitz as the a harvesting of figs. Here in this Braisa, ad hakayitz. So bigalil. And at the time when you were making the neder, where were you? You were in the galo. So what is a galo? Galo is high. In other words, aside from it being north, it's also an elevated area. The Yarla Makim, and you go down to the Emek Alpha Pishigia, Kites Ba Makim Asarajiagia, Hakites Begalo. So over here, so now you're on mountain time, right? I know we made this point back in the Mishnah, but here the Bryce is just simply amplifying the same point that we made in the Mishnah. And that is because you made the Neder when you were living up in the Galo, so now your Neder is attached to mountain time. And so therefore, even though you moved and you moved into the valley, your Neder is still going to be governed by mountain time. Good. Ada Gishamim Ashi, Gishamim Ashi, Teri Revish, Neavishim Gamle Omer, so Vichule. Okay, so what did we do? So we quoted the Mishnah. Great. Meaning you said Ad HaGeshamim, and over here, a machlokus amongst the Tanayim, in terms of when exactly is your neder gonna come to an end? So do you need actual rain to come? That's Tanakama. Or anticipated times for rain to come? That's Rav Shimon Gamliel. Amar Rabbi Zer, machlokus Amar Ad HaGeshamim. So Rabbi Zer now has the following chiddush. We have a machlokus Tanayim. Granted. That's when you say the words Ad HaGeshamim. However, Aval Amar Ad HaGeshem. So Ad Zman Geshamim Kamar. Then if you say the words Ad HaGeshem, so the word Geshem, not Geshamim, but the word Geshem, according to everybody, is talking about anticipated times for rain. And you don't need actual rain itself. Okay. Now, I wish I could explain that a little bit better in terms of why the word Geshem, according to Rabbi Zeira, is a Devar Moskam. Everybody agrees to what the definition of the word Geshem is, despite the fact that we had a Machlokas Tanaim by Geshamim. Do I need actual rain or anticipated times? But by Geshem, everyone agrees it's only anticipated times. Why the word Geshem by itself means anticipated times, my grammar is not good enough where I could properly explain to you why that is. Anyway, but that's the Chiddush of Rabbi Zeira. Good. So with that Chiddush of Rabbi Zeira, so now the Gemara is going to be challenging that Chiddush. We're on Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, right at the top of the Amud Meisvei. So the Gemara now challenges Rabbi Zeira based on the following. And that is Ezu Zmanasho Revia. Okay, so the Zmana Revia. So the we have rain, and we're expecting the rain to come down soon after Sukkot. Okay, the rain coming down in three waves. Each wave is called a Revia. Okay, the word Revia itself so has interesting overtones in terms of what it means. See the Gemara Tanis for more detail on that. For now, while we're learning the Darim, that's all I need to say. I don't have to elaborate, but anyway, but if you know the Gemara Tanis, so the word itself is an interesting word. So, but anyway, but as far as we're concerned right now, all we need to know is that there are basically three waves of rain periods that are coming in the month of Cheshvan. Now, why do we need the number three? You know, actually, one and three are very easy to explain. Because basically, the first wave, the first anticipated time in which the rain is going to come down, by the way, everything I'm saying right now is coming up in the Gemara. I'm foreshadowing, I'm previewing, I'm setting ourselves up. The first wave of rain that comes down, good. Meaning once we set that, once we mark the calendar with that first wave, so that means that's when we should start asking Kadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning it's going to rain, but of course Hashem wants us to ask for the rain. Right? That was built into Briyas HaOlam. Right? Everyone knows the Rashi's and Chumash and Parshas Bereishis, meaning that when did the grass actually grow? Meaning Kadosh Baruch Hu basically planted the seeds, if you will, for all the vegetation and all the growth to come. But when Adam was created and he petitioned and asked Kadosh Baruch Hu for it to grow, then and only then did it grow. Okay, good. So in other words, so that's the rain's expected a certain time, but also at the same time we need to ask. That's the way the world works. So for the first time that we're anticipating rain, so we're now going to formally ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu, meaning when I say formally, we're going to put into our Shmona Esrei and we're going to petition. So that is that's the first round. The third round, meaning why do I need a third date on our calendar? Because when we get to the third round and rain has not yet come, that's when we sound the fire alarm. Okay? And when I say fire alarm, I really mean water alarm. Meaning at this point in time now, we've passed three marks on the calendar in which rain hasn't come. And at that point in time, now it's time for us to stop asking and start begging. Okay. And that's basically Masechta Tanis in a nutshell. Okay, good. So the first marking on the calendar, the third marking on the calendar, we just explained. What about the second marking, otherwise known as the Revia Shnia? There's some intermediary date between one and three. What's the significance of that? Funny you should ask. The answer is Nedarim. I know that's a funny answer. But basically, if I make a neder, and I'm saying that the neder is going to take us up to the rain season, so now what we're looking for is that intermediary date. Okay. Now, you probably noticed that I've been very vague about what these dates actually are. You know why I've been vague? Because it's a machlokas. Okay, so we know, it just happens to be that there are three opinions on the matter. So, Ezu is Manasho Revia. So now that we did a lot of setups, so let's run now through the Gemara and through the dates. And mind you, by the way, just to make sure that we understand, let's not lose the forest right now because we're going to see a lot of trees. So the forest over here is that Rebbe Zera has a Chiddush, and Rebbe Zera's Chiddush is that if I say the word Geshem and not Geshamim, we have no disagreement. Everyone says that Geshem means anticipated time and not actual rain. Good. That was the Chiddush of Rebbe Zera. And everything we're going to do right now is going to bring us to a question against Rebbe Zera. Okay, that's the forest. Now let's see all those trees. So ha bechira v'shlosha. So when's the first expected rain? That's going to be coming on the third day of Cheshvan. Beinun is the Shiva. Second expected time for rain is the seventh day of Cheshvan. And afeila besrim v'shlosha. And the last rain is going to be coming on 23. Divir Rebbe Meir, the Chitas Rebbe Meir. Okay, good. Next. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shiva, V'Shiva, Sar, V'Esrim, V'Shlosha. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, all these dates are on the month of Cheshvan, 7, 17, 23. Okay, that is rains 1, 2, and 3. And Rabbi Yossi Omer, V'Shiva, Sar, V'Esrim, V'Shlosha, V'Rosh Chodesh Kislev. And according to Rabbi Yossi, the first rain expected is on day 17 of Cheshvan. Then the middle one is 23 of Cheshvan. And the third one is Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Rosh Chodesh Kislev, which is exactly 1 month ago. Okay, good. The 1 month ago and 1 day. Anyway, so v'chena yo Rabbi Yossi Omer in eichidem misanim ad shiagir Rosh Chodesh Kislev, and consistent with Rabbi Yossi's position, meaning when do we sound the fire alarm? Or again, when I say fire alarm, I really mean water alarm. So that's going to be Rosh Chodesh Kislev, meaning the yechidim, the Talmid Chachamim, when are they going to start fasting? Meaning when do we start getting serious over here because there's no rain that's come down? So according to Rabbi Yossi, so no one needs to really start panicking until Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Good. Okay, anyway, so we have now dates numbers 1, 2, and 3. But we have three opinions in terms of when the first, second, and third date are. The Shitas of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi. Good. V'amrin Allah. And now the Gemara just does a little more setup for us. Bishlam Revi Yashon Elishael. And Shlishis Lisanos. So again, what we said already, but again, I previewed everything. In other words, the Gemara spells it all out. So date number one, according to each one of the Tanaim, is when we start asking. Date number three is when we start begging. So, and fasting. But Ela Shnei Lamai. But what's that second date? They said the second date is Vamer Rabbi Zera Lenoder. Second date is for Nedarim. Meaning that when a person makes a Neder, and the Neder is taking us up, Ad HaGishamim. So what that means to say is that the Neder will finally expire, will come to a conclusion when I get to that middle anticipated rain period. The Amrin on Allah, and we're not done yet. So what we have done so far is give us the three dates according to the three Tanayim, explaining the significance of the first, the second, and the third date. The Amrin on Allah. Now on this machlokas kamanaz lahad tanya, we have the following brisa, and that is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Gisham Mishiyadu Shiva Yamim Zecher Zeh. When I have rain coming 7 consecutive days. So in other words, it's been raining now for a week. Right? Just happens to be that we've had rain now for 3 consecutive days here. Good. So for 7 consecutive days of rain, atamona behem rishon v'shniya. So now what we can do is that we can count it. We can count it as checkpoint 1 and checkpoint 2. Now, so who's of that position? Meaning what you have to do is you have to go back, you have to look at all 3 shitas and figure out who now is going to have a 7-day window of rain where now you're going to be able to check off 2 checkpoints, 1 and 2. So who is that? Come on, Rabbi Yossi. So the truth of the matter is that you don't have to do the work. The Gemara does the work for us, meaning it is the Shita Rabbi Yossi. And if you look back and you look back at the Shita Rabbi Yossi, of course it makes sense. Meaning Rabbi Yossi has it that checkpoint number 1 is day 17 and checkpoint number 2 is day 23, separated by 7 days. Perfect. Okay, good. So now what we have over here is that we have the Rashbag subscribing to the view of Rabbi Yossi. Okay. Perfect. Now, why is all this relevant to us? meaning because what the Gemara is thinking at this point in time, everything I'm saying right now is the Ran, I'm just saying over the Gemara like the Ran, is that, look, we just learned together that we have checkpoint number one, checkpoint number two. Checkpoint number two gets us to what? The end of a neder. If a person made a neder, right, and he says that my neder is going to take me until it rains, ad hageshem, so then, when is it going to be officially over? At checkpoint number two. According to Rabbi Yossi, that's going to be the 23rd day of Cheshvan. Okay, so far so good. Rabbi Zera said that if I said the word gishamim, with a yud mem at the end, we have a machlokis in terms of whether or not it's actual rain or anticipated rain. But if I say the word geshem, according to everybody, I don't need actual rain, anticipated rain is going to be sufficient. Good. Meanwhile, we just learned a brisa together that when it rains for 7 consecutive days, not anticipated, meaning actual rain for 7 consecutive days, so now we could check off checkpoint number 1 and checkpoint number 2. Meaning the assumption is it started raining on the 17th day of Cheshvan, and it rained through the 23rd, and that now is checkpoint 1 and 2. Good. According to Rabbi Yossi. So, what was the neder that he said? The Gemara is assuming he said the word geshem. Ad ha-geshem. Okay, good. It's an assumption. And if that's true, so now we look at Rabbi Zera, you told us that when you say the word geshem and not geshamim, everyone agrees you don't need actual rain. Anticipate is sufficient. That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara's answer is very simple. Hahu da'amar ad geshamim. Okay, good. So the whole question was predicated on an assumption that the noder said the word geshem. And so the Gemara says, okay, good. That was an assumption. You're wrong. He didn't say the word geshem. He said geshamim. Ah, and because he said the word geshamim, so now it's not sufficient to have anticipated dates, but you need actual rain itself. Okay, good. Adkat. Takes us to the end of admittedly, it's complicated, but once you have all the shitas down, and once you understand what the Gemara's assumption was, it's really not that hard. Okay. That takes us to the first part of today's daf. So, in the Mishnah we went through, the terminology of ad ha-katsir and ad ha-geshem, and when exactly is the expiration of your neder? Good. That's what we just covered now in the Mishnah and in the Gemara. Next. Okay. I told you this will be pretty much the centerpiece of today's daf, and that is going to be what happens when I say that I'm not drinking wine for a year, and then Basin decided that they're going to add an extra month. Okay. I'm just going to give a quick intro over here. Are things we all know already, but let me just set it up a little bit. Okay. The lunar calendar is 354 days. Okay. In other words, when I'm assuming over here that we're going to be alternating months, 29, 30 days, and we're going to do that 6 times each, 6 for 29, 6 for 30, and that gets me to the number 354. Okay. My math is good for today. Obviously, you could check me on it, but in other words, so a typical lunar year is going to be 354 days. That's 11 days shy of a solar year. Solar year is 365 days. And so the problem is that as we are now operating with the lunar calendar, because we're Jewish people, and that's what we're supposed to do, so what we're going to be doing every year is we're falling behind 11 days. Okay. And again, my numbers over here is on average, obviously. In other words, sometimes the solar year is 366 days, but okay, regardless. The numbers over here are just for the purposes of making a simple point. Okay, so we're falling behind 11 days every single year. And now we're falling behind, and after 3 years, 3 short years, so we're going to be falling behind 33 days. And so therefore, if all we're going to be doing is following a lunar month, so we're just going to keep backing up in the solar year. So that means to say that let's say Pesach falls out on April 15th. So 3 short years from now, Pesach is going to be on February 15th. And truth of the matter is even earlier, meaning it's 33 days. So, and it just keeps backing up and keeps backing up. Problem is that aside from the fact that the Torah is telling us that we have to be following the lunar year, but on top of that, the Torah also wants us to be celebrating Pesach in the spring and Sukkot in the fall. So what do we need to do? We need to adjust. So how do we adjust? It's very simple. We add an extra month. So about every 3 years, approximately, we're going to be adding an extra month so that the lunar year and the solar year are basically operating side by side. Good. I know we all knew that. For the last 1,700 years, we didn't have to think about it. Why? Because in the Tkufa of the Amoraim, so they took the calendar, they fixed the calendar, fixed it, meaning set it in motion for the foreseeable future. We are only 1,700 years later, and it's perfect. It's near perfect. right? I've said this before. You've heard me say this before. It is one of the most underrated, underreported feats of calendar mathematics, in that they knew with unbelievable precision, like, what it would take calendarically to have the solar and the lunar years aligned with one another. And it's whatever. It's really underreported. Okay. We need to make a bigger deal about it. It's amazing. Meaning Chazal were just whatever. Their knowledge of math and science and calendar is just amazing. Okay, good. It gets underreported. Okay. So anyway, so for the last 1700 years, so we have not thought about it. We didn't need to think about it. Good. But prior to that, so what Basedin did every year is they got together and they had to make an ad hoc decision, meaning where are we right now in terms of Adar? Are we like somewhere in the spring? Are we late winter? Where are we right now? And based on a series of variables, and the Gemara Sanhedrin spells it all out, so where they're going to make a decision in terms of whether or not they're going to be adding a leap year. Now, the truth of the matter is it doesn't come as a total shock, meaning if we went 2 years without making a leap year, chances are by the third year, Basedin's going to make that decision to add a leap year. So it's not like it's coming totally out of left field, but every year it serves as an ad hoc decision that's done by Basedin. When do they convene to make this decision? In the month of Adar. So that means to say that we can go into an Adar prior to the fixed calendar, and we could literally not know, is there going to be a second Adar? Maybe. Basedin will decide. Okay? So far, so good. So let's say I make a neder, and the neder is that I'm not going to be drinking wine for the year. Lishana. So, and now, Nisabra Shana. And now Basedin, and now after I made the neder, Basedin then decided we're going to add an extra month. Okay, that's an extra month now of no wine. So fine. So Asar Ba will be Yibura. That's exactly the point of the Mishnah. So now there's going to be an Isser on the year, including that extra month as well. Mazel Tov, you're going to be right there. You like the abstention from wine for 1 year. Enjoy an extra month of abstention. Ad Rosh Adar, Rosh Chodesh Adar Rishon. Ad Sof Adar Rishon. Now, let's say you said Ad Rosh Adar, meaning my neder is going to take me up to the front of Adar, the beginning of Adar. So now, what is that going to take you to? It's going to take you to the beginning of the first Adar. If I say the end of Adar, it's the end of the first Adar. Meaning, despite the fact that there's a second Adar, and yes, in other words, our Gemara over here really dovetails with the Gemara in Megillah. The Gemara in Megillah talks about which is a real Adar, right? And I know that's a funny question, but there are mitzvahs to do in the month of Adar. We have to be reading the Megillah. Okay, and a whole bunch of complementary mitzvahs that come together with the Megillah. So which month are we going to do it in? Are we going to do it in Adar 1 or Adar 2? Good. So that's the Gemara in Megillah, and as you can imagine, it's Machlokas. But our Gemara over here, even though having a similar discussion, it's similar, but it's not the same. Why? Because over here, you're making a neder. What's the neder predicated on? It don't matter which one is the real Adar. What does it matter? What your intention was. Meaning, Lashon B'nei Adam. So in other words, when I say up till Adar, so what do people normally understand when I say the word Adar? And there are two of them coming up. So in other words, we're just simply going to follow what Lashon B'nei Adam is. If Lashon B'nei Adam is Adar number one, perfect. So we're going to go with Adar number one. So and the Gemara makes exactly that point. We're starting with the Gemara in Samach Gimel Amad Aleph. Amas Amad Adar Dekamar Rishon Hu. So when people say the word Adar, they generally are describing the first one. That's what our Mishnah says. Lema Masis and Rabbi Yehuda. So what does that mean? Our Mishnah is going like the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya we learned in the Braisa. Adar Rishon Kosev Adar Rishon. Adar Sheni Kosev Adar Stam. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Amir Adar Rishon Kosev Stam. Uva Adar Sheni Kosev Tinyan. So when I'm writing a contract and we're in the first Adar, so how do I write it? How do I describe it? So machlokas tanaim between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. And Rav Yehuda is the one who says that when I'm in the first Adar, I'll just simply call it Adar, because that's what people call it. And then when I get to the second Adar, you know what I'll call it? I'll call it Adar 2. Adar the second. Right? The second Adar. In other words, but when we're talking Stam, which Adar is, it's quote unquote, right, the perceived Adar, the recognized Adar, so it's number one, not number two. That sheet is Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Meir disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Meir says just the opposite. So, when we have our Mishnah over here, and the Mishnah here is clearly describing Adar number one as being the quote-unquote perceived Adar, everyone accepts that as being like basically the main Adar. So our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Meir. That in of itself is not the end of the world. Even though, I'm reading Ben's mind, even though Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, and we would like the Mishnah to be going more like Rabbi Meir, but okay, the Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Meir, the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda, but the Gemara tries. The Gemara tries to have the Mishnah even going like Rabbi Meir. Amar Abaye Afilu Tem Rabbi Meir. So Had Yada De Ma'abra Shasa Had Lo Yada. And what Abaye attempts to suggest is that when we say that the Stam Adar is the second Adar, that is talking about where you know that there's a second Adar coming. Again, in other words, that becomes a variable that you and I can't relate to. Meaning, when we look at a calendar, we know it's coming because our calendar is fixed. So we have to a little bit take ourselves away from our current situation. And when I say current, by the way, it's been like that for the last 1,700 years. But in other words, we know it's coming. But back in the day, literally, you didn't know. So it could be that when Rabbi Meir says that Adar Sheni is the quote unquote main Adar, that's talking about when you know when it's coming. And as far as the Mishnah is concerned, that the first Adar is quote unquote the main one is because he didn't know that there was a second one that was coming, right? It came as a surprise. So the Gemara says, Vatanya, the Gemara says, that's really hard to imagine. Meaning that we can give such an ukimta. We learned in a Braisa, Ad Rosh Chodesh Adar. So, Ad Rosh Chodesh Adar Rishon, Rim Haisa Shnamu Beres, Ad Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni. So, I make a neder that I'm not going to be drinking wine until Rosh Chodesh Adar. So, which one am I referring to? The first one. Unless it was a Shnasmu Beres, unless it was an Ibriyar. So, if it was an Ibriyar, so it's the second one. So, Michlal. So, the Resha Labu Beres Askinan. So, obviously, over here, we're talking about where the beginning of the Brisa was not where it was not an Iber. It didn't have 13 months. It was only 12 months. Shma mina had the pshita le demabra shasa had the lo yada. So in other words, obviously the distinction is whether you know or whether you don't know. And when you don't know, your kavana is going only on number one, not on number two. So it's a little bit hard to imagine that if you didn't know that there's any other pshat that you can offer other than that it's going on number one. Okay. So in other words, so this attempt by Abaye to have our Mishnah going in alignment with Rabbi Meir as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda, it's difficult. It's a difficult pshat. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of that. And then for the remainder of today's daf, yeah, good. Okay, so for the remainder of today's daf, so what we have to do now is take into account the following. Okay, what do we know? We know that our perek has been dealing with expiration dates for nedarim. Okay, I made a nedar until, and then fill in the blank, meaning our entire perek, which is a short perek, it's been three blot of Gemara, four actually, it's Samach through Samach Gimel. So four blot of Gemara dedicated to when exactly is going to be the expiration of your nedar. It's going to be based on what is the understood language that you use when you said ad hageshem, ad hageshamim, ad hakatfir, etc., ad hapesach, etc., etc. Meaning our entire parak. Okay, but also you have to take into account the following. I say that I'm not going to be drinking wine until Pesach, right? And now what? And I know I made this point in the beginning of the parak, but now as we're at the end of the parak, now we get to make the point and a little more emphatically. And that is, I have a mitzvah tonight to drink four cups of wine. Meaning when I say Ad HaPesach, and for a moment you think that I'm talking about that I'm not drinking wine up to and including Pesach, also take into consideration I have a mitzvah midrabanan to drink not one but four cups of wine tonight. So can't we make the argument that I meant up to Pesach but not including Pesach when you think about the fact that I got to drink tonight? That's our Mishnah.
Why can't you argue that since there's a mitzvah if I'm drinking four cups, then his neder would not be binding because he's going to get in the
mitzvah? Right. Correct. Well, he is making a neder. It's just a question of until when. Meaning, The neder is covering a good amount of time, and it's just now a question of when does it come to an end. He said out of Pesach, but it now has to be mitigated with the fact that he's got a mitzvah to drink wine. So Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Konim Yain Sheni Tom Achia Pesach, Lo Niskav Mitzvah Lad Lela Pesach Hashas Erech Bnei Adam Lishtos Yain. So that's exactly the point of Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda says that he says, Achiehe. Now this takes us back to the first mission of our parak. We did this 4 days ago. When you say Achiehe, that normally will include Pesach itself. But Rabbi Yehuda says, but it can't. It can't mean that. Because tonight you have to drink 4 cups of wine. So when you say Achiehe, and you're talking about the abstention of wine, but you also have a mitzvah to drink 4 cups of wine tonight. So Rabbi Yehuda says, here's how we're going to square that. What he meant was until but not including Pesach, even though he said the words Achiehe. And then the obvious question is he arguing with the previous Mishnah? Okay, the Ron discusses this in detail and at length in today's daf. Maybe if time will allow, I'll come back and I'll discuss it. I'm not sure. But anyway. So, I said, I'm not eating meat until Yom Kippur. And he says, now, by the way, when it says Hatzom, it's referring to Yom Kippur, right? There's only one fast day, meaning there are many fast days, right? One's coming up in about a week from now. So there are many fast days, but when we say Hatzom, we're talking, of course, about Yom Kippur, right? The Masechta itself is called Yuma, the day. Okay, so Hatzom over here is referring to Yom Kippur. Anyway, Achi Hatzom, so in Yisrael, Adlele Tzom. Shalom is Kavin Zeh, Elad Chasher Derech Bnei Adam Lechol Basar. Okay, and again, even though he said Achi Yehei Hatzom, which we've already established means up to and including Yom Kippur, but once again, you have to mitigate that, because Minhag, there is an ancient practice that we eat meat on Erev Yom Kippur, right? Back in the day, chicken happened to have been the meat of choice. But anyway, it's an ancient Minhag. Minhag, Takana, not exactly sure how to say it correctly, but in other words, but it's an old Jewish practice. And so when you say that I'm not eating meat up until Yom Kippur, you didn't mean up to the day of Yom Kippur. You meant up to the up to the Seud HaMafsek is before Yom Kippur, because your neder is not going to take you away from an ancient minhag of having meat on Erev Yom Kippur. So shalom is kavin zel achashter derech bnei adam lechol basar, because people eat meat on Erev Yom Kippur. And Rabbi Yossi, but no omer konim shum shani tom achitei Shabbos. And Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Yehuda, adds the following, and that is we have a minhag to eat garlic on Friday night. Now, for those who are not unfamiliar with this minhag, so I think it's at the end of Baba Kama. Anyway, there are 10 takanas that were made by Ezra. Okay, when we get to the Gemara's there, so I'm going to make the following observation. I made it before, I'll make it again. And that is that the takanas of Ezra were basically all for the purpose of growing the population of the Jewish people. If I remember correctly, not all 10 of them, but many of the 10 are there to basically improve and increase population. And historically, it makes a lot of sense. Because when Ezra came back into Eretz Yisrael to build Bayis Sheni, so how many Jews came with him? The number was really small. Something around 42,000. And so basically, what he did is a number of takanas, which is basically, we need more Jews in this world. Okay, good. So, and one of the takanas was that everyone be eating garlic on Friday night. Garlic back in the day was viewed as something that would promote procreation. Okay, I'm not here to speak about the science of that. That was the understanding back in the good old days in terms of how garlic manifests itself. And so, therefore, there is an ancient minhag to eat garlic on Friday night. So, let's say you make an edda that you're not eating garlic until Shabbos, right? Achitei Shabbos. Again, you have to mitigate that with the fact that there's a minhag to eat garlic on Friday night. So, what did you mean? What you meant was up to Shabbos, but in other words, not including Shabbos. Shalom is kavin zeh l'chasha derech bnei adam l'chol b'shum. Good. Okay, good. So a series of nedarim where you have to understand the neder when you take the consideration of there's a mitzvah to drink wine on Pesach, there's a mitzvah to eat meat on Erev Yom Kippur, there's an ancient minug to eat garlic on Friday night going all the way back to Ezra, to Kanes Ezra. Okay, good. Ha'omer l'chaver konim shani nenalach im ein at bavnota levanecha korecha shalchitim ushecha v'yoshayayin. And now, the Mishnayos go over. Now, we've covered this earlier in the Masechta. Basically, what we're looking at over here are nedarim that are basically there as promotion and incentivizing. Meaning, I'm making a neder, but I'm not making a neder because I really want to bind you or me to a neder. It just happens to be that I need to get you to move, right? What we called earlier, nidre's reason, right? They're just incentivizing, okay? Why is the Mishnah bringing it up over here in the eighth paragraph? It seems like this is a little bit out of place. So the Rishonim point out that it fits in with the general idea that we just learned together. In other words, that you have to take a neder into context. In other words, you can't just simply look at the words of what he's saying and remove it from context. There's context to every sentence that's said, and when you're making a neder, there's context as well. So over here, just a couple more examples of contextual nedarim, where when I'm looking at the picture at large, I realize, oh, this is what he meant. Okay, good. So, right? Anything of yours is going to be usher to me. Unless you accept the following gift from me. Basically, I need you to take a gift from me. Right? And as we discussed earlier, meaning, right, what's the general idea? In other words, I don't want to just take and not give. And I need you to take this from me. And I know I'm binding ourselves to a neder if you don't take it from me. But again, I'm just saying that to incentivize. Sorry, Zaya Khalafa and Nijor Shalapi Chacham. You could be made for neder. You don't need a chacham. V'yomer lo klum amart ela mimnei kvodi. Zeh kvodi. And over here, I just simply did it for the honor. And so over here, so the honor is not to take it. In other words, right, the neder over here is not going to be binding. You don't need a chacham to be mater neder. I just did it to honor. V'chein omel chaver konim shat nenet li. Another example, similar example. Anything of mine is going to be usher to you. Unless you gift my kid the following, right? You send to my kid some weed and some wine. Anyway, I feel like, in other words, in this particular relationship, I feel like all you've been doing is taking from me, and I felt like there's no reciprocity. And you know what? You need to give a little bit. In other words, stop taking and give a little bit. And now what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be making a neder, binding your gift giving to a neder. If you don't gift, so then that's it. You're not getting any hana from me. Rabbi Meir Omer Aser Achitain v'chacham emomer mavzeh yachol aferes neder shalal pi chacham v'yomer lo harei ani kilu niskabalti. And over here, once again, can the neder just simply dissipate and disappear without a shalas chacham? According to the chacham, and the answer is yes. And again, because here's what I could say. In other words, even though I said, you better be giving to me, I can also say at a later point in time, you know what? It's kabalti. I accepted it. Meaning, even if I didn't receive it, I could say as if I received it. It's similar to mechila, a mochel. Meaning, in other words, I made a stand that you mean you need to be giving it to me. I could say at a later point in time, it's kabalti. It's like you're being mochel, okay. And haya misari bolasis basa choso v'amakonim shi nenes li laolam. The v'chena megarshes isha v'amakonim shi nenes li laolam. Hare elu mataros lanos lo shalins kavin zayel elu shamishos. And just more examples of the same idea, right? I'm trying to get you to marry my daughter. It happens to be I'm talking to my brother right now. Okay, I want my brother to marry my daughter. Okay, so oddly enough, we've gone over this numerous times, and that is that although most family members are arayos, that's true, except with notable exception to uncle and niece. The uncle can marry the niece. It's not one of the arayos in the Torah. It's totally permitted. In fact, taking us back to the good old days, not only was it permitted, encouraged. Encouraged, recommended. In other words, you know, for the uncle to marry the niece. Okay. Good. It's not done nowadays, but back in the day it was done. And once again, I bind the neder so that I'm pushing. And finally I get to the point where I say, Konim shi nenesli la'olam. In other words, she's not going to get any benefit from me if you don't marry her. So again, the understanding over here is that I just did that for the purposes of incentivizing. And I'm trying to get my friend to eat by me. And just another example of the same idea. And every single time I invite him over, he refuses. And finally, I say enough already. And I make a neder that if you don't come and eat by me, so that's it. You're not going to be getting any benefit from me. So over here, once again, it's just to incentivize, it's just to promote. So the correct. It all goes back to that parak in the Dharma that we did together. In terms of sometimes I'm just making an edit to incentivize and promote. And so the Mishnah just simply gives us another example. Again, why here? Why are these Mishnahs here? Because it's connected. It's tied to the previous point of the Mishnah that even though I said no wine until Pesach, I didn't mean including Pesach. I couldn't mean that. Why? Because I have to drink 4 cups of wine. And the same thing with the meat on Erev Yom Kippur and the same thing with the garlic on Erev Shabbos. Okay, Ad Kan. That is the end of the 8th parak of the Masechta. Okay, let's review. Let's recap. Okay, what we found over here today is the continuation and the conclusion of the odds. I make ad meaning ein dalet. When I make a neder and it has an expiration date, so good. So the neder is going to expire as per my expiration date. But what is the meaning of my expiration date? So we went over today. Certain agricultural markings on the calendar, or the harvest, the rains. So we covered in today's daf is in the beginning. What is that going to include? Which harvest am I talking about? Geographically, where am I in terms of the harvest? Up in the mountains, down in the valleys. Good. So, but anyway, that was number one. And when I say rains, are we talking about actual rains or anticipated time for rains? Machlokas amongst the Tanaim. Rabbi Zera says that when I say the word Geshem, no machlokas. Everyone understands Geshem is anticipated time for rains. That was sugya number one. Sugya number two of today is that I make a neder for the year, and now based and then unloads an additional month for the year, which they do. So does that include the Ibriyar? The answer is yes. What if I take my neder up until Rosh Chodesh and then Basin adds another? I'm sorry, up until Rosh Chodesh Adar and Basin adds another Rosh Chodesh Adar. Now what? So good. So we follow Lashon B'nai Adam. Lashon B'nai Adam normally treats the first one as the quote unquote main Adar. And the second one is just that. It's just the second one. Machlok is between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda exactly on this point. Our Mishnah is following like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Meir. Abaye tries to massage our Mishnah so that it goes like Rabbi Meir. Good. And then finally, our last point that we covered today is that you have to take the Neder in context. Meaning when they say that I'm not drinking wine, Achihe Pesach, which normally would take us up to and including Pesach, but you have to contextually look. I'm going to make a neder that's going to prevent me from drinking dalakosos on the first night of Pesach. Of course not. I meant up until Pesach, right? So you have to look at the nedarim in context. Good. And then for homework tonight, the Mishnah gave us a whole series of other examples of I take a neder, look at it contextually. Meaning sometimes a neder is not meant as a neder. Sometimes it's just meant to motivate and incentivize. I know it's a point that we made earlier in the Masechta, but it's brought back over here because it's similar to the idea of you have to look at the neder of wine contextually when you go up to Pesach. Good. And then for homework tonight, you can look at the Ran. The Ran spends a lot of time in today's daf going over, and the earlier Mishnayos did not seem to look at, and the earlier Mishnayos in this Perek did not seem to be cared or concerned about the context. And earlier we said in the parak, Achihe meant up to and including Pesach. How do you understand this Mishnah against the first Mishnah of the parak? See the Ran for that discussion.